Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely lady and forever student of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Shalom, my dear, and shalom to all the listeners. We'll be concluding Isaiah 26 tonight after the bitter and also sweet news. But first, let's praise the Lord.
O Lord, our God, you are our anchor in the storm, and because you live, we can face tomorrow. No matter what problem entangles us, you will hold us steady, even as the torrents batter. Lord, thank you for protecting President Trump, as we ask your continuance of shining your face down upon him and all your believers as we anxiously look for your return and to receive the crown of righteousness. Bless this program as well as the listeners tonight. Heal the sick. Comfort the lonely as we continue to pray for the salvation of all our loved ones. We ask this in Yeshua's name.
And Lord, we pray comfort for the deceased man's entire family and healing for the two others now thankfully in stable condition. Amen.
Amen.
Of course, we begin with what we are calling a true miracle from God.
Yeah, it's a divine intervention, if anything.
Yeah. Had Trump's head just been a millimeter to the left or right, it would have been over. We are all saddened because of what happened, but certainly not surprised, as we have suspected that they would do anything to stop him. Last week at a fundraising for all to hear, Joe Biden said, "It's time to put Trump in the bullseye." Well, someone did, but I don't believe he acted on his own, and that's pretty obvious.
Still many questions to be answered.
Yes, but Trump, I believe, was set up by his enemies.
Had to be.
Because even after a few in the crowd saw the shooter on the roof and yelled it out to law enforcement, right then they should have told Trump to get down, for it was approximately 30 more minutes before the shots were fired. So even if they could not get to the shooter, they had time to radio his immediate detail to get him down. Besides, that roof was so close to the stage, they should have had that area secured. And where were the spy drones or helicopters surveilling the area? Interesting that security had no problem killing the shooter a split second after he shot the bullets.
Why didn't they shoot him first?
Exactly. And they are sniper trained. They could have taken his legs out and then captured him.
So crooks couldn't talk.
Right. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we'll get more answers. But then again, the FBI is now in charge, who, if you recall, raided Mar-a-Lago.
And called the laptop Russian disinformation.
And had undercover agents who infiltrated and riled up the January 6th crowd.
And the CIA is evil as well.
I think so. And now we know that they were involved with President Kennedy's assassination and made sure that suspect was killed as well. So couldn't talk.
Yes, by Jack Ruby.
We all know that because we're in the last days. At least the upper levels of probably every government agency is demonically influenced. Thankfully, Congress, led by Comer, is doing an investigation as well.
Yeah, Trump had his documents case dismissed.
Yes, that was good news, although prosecutors say they will appeal, but they'll lose.
And President Trump picked J.D. Vance from Ohio as his vice president.
From Ohio. Seems like a good choice with a great American story.
For sure.
But back to last Thursday, I believe God was showing us, and certainly Trump, that he's got his back. Therefore, I'm writing an article in the next newsletter due out early next week that paints a brighter side when Trump is reelected. Till then, anything might happen. But I present a possible good scenario concerning America and the world, actually. And it fits quite nicely into our departure next year because of what we saw God do.
Okay, moving on. What's the latest with Israel?
Well, an October 7th mastermind, Hamas senior leader Mohammed Deif, along with their field commander and others, were taken out by the IDF last week as they continue their war. And a new round of talks will still take place this week in Qatar. Hamas does need a pause to regroup and rearm. But be sure to pray for the many businesses in Israel that are being hurt in a big way. Pray that they can survive this.
Yeah, you know, tourism, there's almost nothing.
Which really hurts their economy. And by the way, Netanyahu will be visiting Biden next week and also addressing our Congress on the 24th. And I saw where some Dems will not attend, particularly, you guessed it, the progressives.
Okay, you can send your end-time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministry.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are greatly appreciated, which will automatically add you to our mailing list. Our prophecy updates and biblical teachings. Please consider any love gift, which you can also make on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where our radio and teaching letters are also archived for your convenience.
All right. We are continuing in Isaiah 26.
And again, if you missed last week's program, it's up on shofarministries.net.
So a quick overview from last week is the chapter begins with the term in that day. So therefore, still future for us. And then in verse 2, open the gates. And that's for the righteous, which denotes our resurrection into the heavens as we begin our honeymoon in the Lord's kingdom, first in heaven, for the first 7 years, till the indignation on the earth is at its closure, when we return with Jesus in the clouds, as stated in Revelation 19.
Referred to as his second coming to earth.
And we looked at Genesis 28, describing the portal that Jacob saw with the ladder going up into heaven. So portals are the paths in and out of heaven that the fallen angels likely went through when they rested on Mount Hermon, which became a high place for the gods of Pan. When concerning his church, Jesus said in Matthew 16:18,
"And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it."
He was standing at the foot of Mount Hermon, and I can just picture him pointing to the caves and niches built into the side of the mountain,
which we saw when we were there.
Oh, yeah, right, we did, as well as baptized at the mouth of the Jordan River.
We also looked at Nimrod.
Oh, yeah, we did, and how he tried reaching the portal of the gods when building the Tower of Babel.
And he did become mighty.
Which often means a giant, because he turned himself over to the gods.
And there are portals over here in America, too.
Uh-huh. Especially above Mount Graham, so say the Apache Indians. We also saw in verse 9, there will be those who turn righteous after the rapture.
The tribulation saints.
Yep. And praise the Lord, there will be many of them. So saints of God, be sure to witness about that too. Because if they do not accept Christ now, well, they will then. But it's going to be due to what you say to them today.
We also talked about the resurrection for the unrighteous, too.
Yeah, at the Great White Throne at Revelation 20. Then we got into the wicked, or in Hebrew, the Raphaim, and we read Psalm 58, where the wicked are estranged from the womb. And we left off in Isaiah 26, verse 14, which tells of those Raphaim who cannot be redeemable ever.
They are dead. They will not live. They are deceased. They,
talking of the Raphaim,
will not rise
in any resurrection. For they, as in the fallen angels, have already been judged, and their descendants.
Therefore you have punished and destroyed them. and made all their memory to perish.
Again, the Hebrew is Rapha or Raphaim in the plural, number 7496 in the Strong's. These are the descendants of the Nephilim from the fallen angels spoken of in Genesis 6 who cannot be a part of any resurrection, even of the unrighteous at the Great White Throne Judgment, which, as we said, occurs at the end of the Millennial Kingdom.
Revelation 20. These are unredeemable because they have already been judged.
Yes, as stated by Jude. However, these wicked entities in the form of giant locusts with tortuous stingers are coming back during the tribulation. Revelation 9. As part of the great judgment on the unrighteous still on earth, when the gates of hell are opened. And also Revelation 12 says Satan's angels in the tribulation are thrown to the earth from the heavenly places as well.
It will be horrific.
They even have a king named Apollyon.
Another name for Satan, no doubt.
But focus on the good news. Those who are born again prior to the tribulation, we're going to all escape it, every bit of it.
Luke 21:36.
And by the way, when a giant would physically die, their spirits, called demons, look for other things to inhabit. Living is preferred, but also in inanimate objects.
You know, I immediately think of AI.
Yeah, you know, in fact, you have that quote from the Jewish-born Yuval Harari.
Yes, he said, AI will give us the ability to be godlike and engineer human beings.
Well, engineer means to create.
Yep, become a god.
Anyhow, the spirits of the giants who continued for many generations is where demons come from. And I know this is heavy, dark stuff, but still true. However, hopefully this knowledge gives us a greater burden for the lost. Sadly, many Christians are still in la-la land and give little thought to how awful it will be. Verse 15 of Isaiah 26 speaks of the growth of the righteous, and verse 16 explains that in the tribulation, more will call out to him because they recognize the days of chastisement.
Again, tell the lost now, so they'll recognize the day when it comes to pass.
Then the next verse explains what the pain will feel like. Honey, could you read verse 17?
As a woman with child is in pain and cries out in her pangs, when she draws near the time of her delivery, so have we been in your sight, O Lord.
And it goes on to say in verse 18 that they have been in trials, painful, as in childbirth and before, and nothing happened. Evil is still here, and the Messiah didn't come.
They have had many painful foreshadows.
Well, they often have. Yeah, they've been corrected for their many wanderings as well as divinely protected. Got to remember that. But the tribulation will be the worst. Remember, only like, I don't know, around 15% are following their Torah law. Many are atheists. They accept abortion and the LGBT community is strong. And Tel Aviv is still the gay capital of the world. Except this time they will be saved through it. For they will recognize the hand of their Messiah.
Ezekiel 38:39.
But now for some good news for us today in verse 19. Speaks about the very joyful resurrection of the righteous, Yeshua's bride. And those who are still alive will be taken up with the righteous that have fallen asleep in Jesus and meet them in the air, as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. And we also see here that verse 19 complements verse 2 by opening the gates or portals so we can enter in. So let's read that, Isaiah 26:19, where it begins talking about God's righteous ones.
Your dead.
That's God's departed saints.
Your dead shall live together with my dead body.
of course, Isaiah's talking, so he's included here.
They shall arise, awake, and sing, you who dwell in dust.
Notice, in the dust, not in the earth, which is very deep down under.
For your dew is like the dew of herbs.
In other words, as the morning dew gives life to herbs, our resurrection from the light giver is like dew giving us new life in the resurrection. Now the last line in verse 19, and often overlooked because most don't look up the word dead, which is a different Hebrew word than in the beginning of this verse, which says,
and the earth shall cast out the dead.
The word for dead here is Raphaim. And notice, from the earth, not the dust. If casually reading this passage, most think, since the verse starts out talking about the righteous resurrection, they just assume it's just a confirmation of what was just said, describing our resurrection. But again, if you look more closely, you'll notice Isaiah spoke of our resurrection as being from the dust, and from the light as dew grows herbs.
But this last sentence says, to cast from the earth,
which is deeper under the dust. Mm-hmm. But the light bulb moment is really revealed when you look up the word for this dead. As we said, the original text is translated as departed spirits in English, but the Hebrew word is Rapha, again meaning descendants from the fallen ones of Genesis 6, as in the Nephilim, whose descendants became as the size of giants. You know, as in Goliath and many other references in scripture, usually having an I-T-E at the end, as in, let's say, the Amalekites. So again, after our resurrection, at the middle of the tribulation, wickedness in the heavenlies will be cast to earth, and the wicked Raphaim will be released from the inner earth, along with large locust-like figures with painful stingers from the bottomless pit. It's amazing when you realize that most of the prophecies of the New Testament just complements those already prophesied in the Old Testament.
Yeah, revealing added information.
For sure. Okay, now in verse 20, Isaiah prophesies what happens immediately at our resurrection. This is a key scripture about the rapture, and that's in the Old Testament, folks. So the rapture is not a New Testament idea. Go ahead, honey.
Verse 20, come, my people, enter your chambers.
Now, the Hebrew word for chambers is hadar, as in a bridal chamber.
And shut your doors behind you.
You know, Matthew 25:10 comments how the door was shut to the five in name-only virgins, representing some today who say they are Christian but have no oil of the Holy Spirit.
So, head knowledge only.
Right. And Matthew 7 confirms that as well. So, continuing in verse 20, and he's still talking to the righteous.
Hide yourself, as it were, for a little while, until the indignation is past.
Now that's huge. Again, we will be hiding in heaven with Jesus. And by the way, Daniel 8, verse 19, confirms the tribulation is also called the indignation. Honey, I think we should read that, Daniel 8, 19.
And he said, look, I am making known to you what shall happen in the latter time of the indignation. For at the appointed time, the end shall be.
Okay. So, going back to Isaiah 26, verse 21 picks it up at the end of the tribulation, when Jesus returns to earth, and we're going to be with him. And of course, this is also explained in Revelation 19. And he's going to finish off the judgment. And I think we should read verse 21.
For behold, the Lord comes out of his place. to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her bloodshed and will no more cover her slain.
It's over. It's over when Jesus comes down to earth. And again, we're going to be with him. And we're going to watch him. We're going to be on white horses coming through the clouds to finish it all and punish the unrighteous. Then we also see, actually in verse 1 of the next chapter, in chapter 27, that he also punishes the serpent. And we know in Revelation 19, Jesus casts the beast and the false prophet in the lake of fire. So let's read that first verse of Isaiah 27.
In that day, the Lord with his severe sword, great and strong.
Again, confirming Revelation 19, the sword of his mouth. You know, Hebrews 4 says that the word, which is Jesus, is sharper than any sword.
He will punish Leviathan.
And that again is still another name for Satan.
The fleeing serpent, Leviathan, that twisted serpent, and he will slay the dragon that is in the sea.
Well, what does Revelation 13 say that the beast comes from?
The sea.
That's right. So, in conclusion, Isaiah 26:20. That is a definite pre-trib rapture scripture in the Old Testament. He says to come up here, just like he said to John in Revelation 4, when God showed him heaven and then the tribulation. And then 7 years later, our return with him on white horses. I can barely wait for that day. I think about it a lot, and I believe because of the times we're living in that we will be part of this rapture. Anyway, when we get up there, we will have our wedding and our honeymoon in the bridal chamber, and there'll be many mansions, and we'll receive our rewards. And one of those rewards is the crown of righteousness, which you get if you are anxiously awaiting his return. How do people wait for his return if they don't really study scripture? You might hear them say, oh, he's coming sometime, probably not in my lifetime. And that is just so untrue. It's our generation, since Israel became a nation, that we're going to see it all end. We were born for such a time as this. And then we will watch Jesus crowned as king. At the end of the 7 years, when we are done up with our honeymoon, which, by the way, always has to be a period of seven. I've talked on that many times. At the end of the 7 years, we will return with him to earth, and he will set up his kingdom. Just so happens to be 5 days after Yom Kippur, on the Feast of Tabernacles. His earthly birthday, and also celebrate our reception dinner feast at his headquarters in Jerusalem. With us, now his wife and queen, and will forever be with the Lord. So set your eyes on the prize and rejoice. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, that lasting shalom. Till next time, sha'alu shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for President Trump and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, you're going to prosper in many ways. Psalm 122. Shalom till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.